This morning, America's First News starts right after this. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Piling on the restrictions. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Monday, November 16. Thanks for joining us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
As hospital admissions from the coronavirus keep surging, more states are putting limits on residents and businesses.
The Biden transition team continues pressing for recognition so it can do things like meet with the current White House coronavirus task force.
SpaceX blasted four astronauts into orbit last night, the first private company to do so. They're on a 27-hour flight to the International Space Station.
And how the pandemic continues forcing colleges into new territory.
So this system that we have is terrific for 20% of the country, and everybody aspires to that. That's become the American dream. But even for some of these kids who get the degree, it's stalled out because their debt is so significant that even if they have a good job with their degree, they may still be underwater for, you know, 3 or 4 years.
Doug Belkin at the Wall Street Journal looks at whether this is the end of college as we know it. The third wave of COVID-19 infections across the country is leading to more restrictions and lockdowns. Data from Reuters show the pace of the pandemic in the U.S. has quickened with 1 million more new cases from just 8 days ago, making it the fastest since the pandemic began. Michigan and Washington State yesterday imposed new restrictions, including halting indoor restaurant service. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer also ordered a ban on in-person high school and college classes.
I know a lot of us are exhausted fighting this virus. Every single one of us, me included, is tired of this. And yet, none of us can let up for a second.
Elsewhere, North Dakota became the latest state to require that face coverings be worn in public. As hospitalizations crossed 69,000 on Saturday, President-elect Joe Biden's team warned that the healthcare systems are at a tipping point. North Dakota, South Dakota, Wisconsin, Iowa, and Nebraska are the top five worst affected states. Well, the top advisor for President-elect Joe Biden says that a government agency's delay in officially acknowledging his electoral victory could hurt efforts to prepare for the distribution of a coronavirus vaccine. Chief of Staff Ron Klain said yesterday that the transition team would press the General Services Administration this week to issue a designation. Without it, Mr. Biden's Coronavirus Advisory Board can't contact the White House Coronavirus Task Force or Dr. Anthony Fauci. He also addressed a day one to-do list.
We're going to rejoin Paris. We're going to protect the Dreamers on day one. We're going to take other action on health care on day one that President-elect talked about during the campaign. So we've got a busy, busy day one under any scenario here.
And he was on NBC's Meet the Press. Separately, President Trump's campaign yesterday scaled back its lawsuit challenging the election results in Pennsylvania, dropping legal claims stemming from observers who allege they were blocked from viewing vote counting in counties dominated by Democrats. Two of the topics front and center for many voters these days include coronavirus stimulus from Washington and voter fraud. Here to address them is David Schweikert, Republican congressman from Arizona. David, where are we on more aid from Capitol Hill?
It's outrageous. We've had $138 billion sitting in account for the payroll protection money, and we couldn't get Nancy Pelosi to let us move that out to small businesses. And I don't know if it's just the darkness of the election cycle where, hey, small business people are voting for Republicans and God forbid help Republicans. But this is not about party. It was about, you know, keeping people employed, keeping the economy going.
Yeah.
A number of the accounts still have cash sitting in them. Even if we can't agree on a grandiose stimulus plan, there's no reason those dollars can't be flowing out in the economy while you're negotiating or finishing off everything else.
Well, how come? Why does that need approval? I don't understand that. If you already kind of earmarked the money through the CARES Act or whatever, why can't small businesses tap it?
Because the timeline on the authorization had expired. So it's appropriated, but it's not authorized beyond a certain date. So now we just need to change the calendars.
So if there were another round of stimulus, what would you agree to?
I think anyone being sort of sensible on this, it's about what maximizes employment, health of the economy, economic expansion. So a lot of this is we see some pretty hard numbers on how many small businesses that may be lost forever.
Yeah.
How do you create a safety net for them? The other thing, there's something really interesting going on, and no one's talking about this, is the number of new business filings, the number of people who are trying to start new businesses. You know, maybe their regular employment gig has blown up during COVID, and now they're going to go become an entrepreneur. Could we actually use some of the stimulus to say, could we help the next generation of small businesses? And there's some really creative things we can do there, from access to capital to the ability to, you know, be structured financially. And those are all things that if you're going to do a stimulus bill, you don't want to just create a quick sugar high. You want to create something that really creates a growth curve into the future.
Would you agree to another round of stimulus checks for Americans?
Only if you could demonstrate that that's actually what's needed right now. You need to look at those who are having real trouble finding employment. But we've also seen some really good job growth numbers. So stimulus for the sake of stimulus doesn't make sense. Stimulus for creating sort of economic velocity does make sense.
Would another dose of enhanced unemployment be part of what you'd sign on to?
Probably not. And the reason for that is where we are employment-wise, we're finally now seeing the number of job openings, if you actually track that, are almost back to where we were near the beginning of the year. That's incredibly positive. So you might reverse that and say, we're going to give people a spiff for getting to work, for taking a job. So it's a way to help, but at the same time also create that incentive to get back into the labor force.
We're speaking with Arizona Congressman David Schweikert. Broadly speaking here, changing gears, are you of the mindset that there's been voter fraud in this election?
Of course there is in certain spots. I don't know how widespread it is, but it's more if it's concentrated in places, it makes a difference. And you got to define what is voter fraud. A conversation with a woman here in the Phoenix area that swears there was some bad acts at a nursing home. Mm-hmm. And so trying to get her to go to the attorney general. Now, that's not at the counting level. That's not at the ballot collection level. That was actually helping, frail seniors fill out their ballots. But some of those things have long histories of having stories following them around. And if anyone out there thinks they have evidence, go fill out an affidavit, tell your story. So at the end of this, all Americans can feel comfortable in the election process.
Thanks, Congressman. Congressman David Schweikert, Republican from Arizona. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Dell Technologies just announced their Black Friday sale, releasing new doorbusters every weekday, plus up to 50% off cutting-edge tech for your business. There's no better time to upgrade your small business with the latest laptops and desktops with Intel Core processors. Plus, there's free shipping on everything. Give Dell Technologies advisors a call. They'll identify the right tech solution for your business. Call 877-ASK-DELL or go to dell.com/SBBlackFriday.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and proven adaptability are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for joining us, and welcome into Monday.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Ignition. liftoff.
SpaceX launched 4 astronauts to the International Space Station last evening, the first by a private company. The Falcon rocket blasted off from Kennedy Space Center with 3 Americans and 1 Japanese, the second crew to be launched by SpaceX. The Dragon capsule was due to reach the space station late tonight and remain there until spring. The 3 men, 1 woman crew, led by Commander Mike Hopkins, an Air Force colonel, named their capsule Resilience.
By working together through these difficult times, you've inspired the nation, the world, and in no small part, the name of this incredible vehicle, Resilience. And now it's time for us to do our part, crew one for all.
Crew includes physicist Shannon Walker, Navy Commander Victor Glover, the first black astronaut on a long-term space station mission, and Japan's Soichi Noguchi. The historic launch was pushed from Saturday to last evening due to rough sea conditions that would not enable the drone ship to reach the discarded first stage of the Falcon 9 rocket. This portion of the program is brought to you by Harry's. Even before I was old enough to shave, I remember those razor commercials. They'd always talk about their new advances, how they'd improve, but they never told you the important part, that they'd raise their prices. But as usual, Harry's is bucking that trend. They've got a new, sharper blade, but they're not raising the price. Sharpest blade ever made. It's still as low as $2 a blade. They do this because they own the blade factory in Germany that's been making these blades for 100 years. I've been a Harry's user for years. A couple of years ago, when my son started shaving that teenage peach fuzz, he started with Harry's and now has Harry's blades at college. Jump on this terrific introductory offer from Harry's right now. New customers can get a Harry's trial set for just $3 with the code DEAL at harrys.com. The trial set includes a 5-blade razor, a weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover. Again, all for just $3. And they ship it to you for free. Don't forget to use the code DEAL at checkout and give the new sharper blades from Harry's a try. Harry's, harrys.com, and use the code DEAL. 20 minutes after the hour on this morning, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the 3 big things you need to know. Number 1.
Michigan and Washington are the latest states to bring in strict measures to try to curb the spread of COVID-19. High schools and colleges will halt on-site teaching, and restaurants are prohibited from offering indoor dining in Michigan starting Wednesday. Washington Governor Jay Inslee says indoor dining is also banned in his state, and gyms, movie theaters, and museums will close.
We are today in a more dangerous position than we were in March when our first stay-at-home order was issued.
Hospital admissions across the country are at record levels, the overall death toll close to 250,000.
Number 2.
The Trump administration struck an optimistic note on Friday, saying it hoped to distribute 20 million doses of a vaccine in December and for each month after that, although vaccines have yet to get official approval. But aides to President-elect Biden say the White House's refusal to facilitate a presidential transition means his team is being excluded from planning around a vaccination campaign that will be a priority for Biden when he takes office in January. Biden's chief of staff, Ron Klain, says the Biden team will still meet with vaccine manufacturers, including Pfizer.
Number 3.
Iota has strengthened into a dangerous Category 4 hurricane and is expected to bring potentially catastrophic winds, life-threatening storm surge, and extreme rainfall to Central America. Iota is likely to make landfall in Nicaragua and Honduras tonight. More than 750,000 homes and businesses lost power Sunday when strong winds and severe thunderstorms blasted through the Midwest and into the East. A 63-year-old woman was killed in Harrison Township, Ohio, when she was hit by a falling tree. The high winds were whipped up as a jet stream drove a strong cold front through the Midwest and into the Northeast. A record-setting performance at the Masters. Dustin Johnson finished 20 below par, setting a record at the Augusta, Georgia event. The 36-year-old is the 12th player to win without ever trailing at the end of any round.
It was still hard. I mean, I was nervous all day, but I felt like I controlled myself very well, controlled the golf ball very well in difficult conditions. I felt like the wind was really tricky.
It was the second career major for the number one ranked golfer in the world.
And he had his brother on the bag.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Yep.
So one golfer, I think, called him Dumb and Dumber at one point when they decided to do that. Who's laughing now?
Exactly.
Right? 23 minutes after the hour. You can spend a lot of time on social media, right? So addictive and time-consuming. But don't you wish you were actually learning something? That's how I felt until I found Blinkist, the app for your phone, tablet, or browser that condenses the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books down to 15 minutes. I like Blinkist because I can listen to condensed books that look intriguing while commuting or running errands, like Why We Sleep by Matthew Walker. Blinkist is thought-provoking and time-saving all in one. Podcast, too. Join 15 million others broadening their knowledge with Blinkist. Right now, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/morning to start your free 7-day trial and get 25% off a Blinkist premium membership. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T. Blinkist.com/morning to get 25% off and a 7-day free trial. Blinkist.com/morning. Thanks for being with us. Our lives have been disrupted in so many ways by the coronavirus, right? But this is the first major holiday where the disconnect has been so apparent. Kara Baskin, who writes a parenting column and newsletter at the Boston Globe, spoke to a party planner, a psychologist, and an infectious disease expert for strategies about managing Thanksgiving this year. Kara, give us takeaways.
So I think one of the really interesting things, and one of the saddest things, I think, for people is mental health and struggling with not seeing family this year and having maybe a little bit of pressure. Right now, the country is so divided about, you know, masks versus non-masks, the seriousness of COVID. COVID cases are spiking everywhere, but people are handling it in very different ways. And I think that a lot of families are getting pressure to do things that maybe they don't feel comfortable with safety-wise. So really how to handle that. And one of the biggest tips, my expert is, his name is Dr. Anthony Rao. He's an author and a really prominent child psychologist up here in New England. This is an opportunity for grown children of parents who might be pressuring them, who might be getting pressure from in-laws or relatives, to really be grown-ups and model maturity and resilience and independence for their kids when they pull back and say, no, you know, we're just going to have a small holiday at home this year. This is what we feel comfortable with. Or maybe you're only gathering outside, and just really drawing a line in the sand. And, you know, I think as humans, we like to make people happy. We like to be empathetic, and we like to bend a little bit, even if it makes us uncomfortable. And in a COVID era with a holiday, you know, it is not the time to do that. If you don't feel safe, if you don't feel comfortable, it's okay to say no. And not only is it okay to say no, you might actually be setting a really good example for your kids about being independent and, you know, drawing your own boundaries. And the other thing, too, a really nice thing just mentally is to think about creating your own traditions with your own family. I mean, Thanksgiving seems weird right now. We're not going to be, hopefully, you know, doing the same big get-togethers that we might in years past. But it's an opportunity maybe to take a deep breath. And I think a lot of people feel, I know a lot of parents who I've talked to, a lot of my friends feel relieved. Like, they don't have to host this year. Yeah. They don't have to go anywhere. They can order Chinese food and watch TV. We can do whatever we want, you know? So that's okay, too. It's okay to embrace that and to think about things in a new way. It's a learning experience. It's a growing experience.
We're speaking with Kara Baskin. She writes a parenting newsletter and column for the Boston Globe called In the Family Way. This piece is called How to Have a Safer, Saner, and Fun Thanksgiving. What do the infectious disease expert recommend?
So the infectious disease expert, her name is Dr. Alyssa Perkins. She's a very well-known physician here in Boston, the director of Emergency Department Infectious Disease Management at BU School of Medicine and the Boston Medical Center. So she's really been doing a lot of work, and she's in an ER, so she sees firsthand how scary things can get, you know, if you don't take this disease seriously. So first of all, the biggest thing is, I mean, and this will come as no surprise to anybody, outdoors is safer than indoors. Indoors is really where COVID has the opportunity to fester, especially if you're eating. And, you know, that's the thing. You're not wearing a mask when you're eating. Thanksgiving is not compatible with COVID in the sense that you're eating.
It's Kara Baskin at the Boston Globe. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Today, I'm here with Josh Hunt, Executive Vice President and Chief Business Development Officer at MEDC. Josh, what were the biggest challenges for MEDC from the pandemic?
Michigan was one of the hardest hit states by COVID-19. At the MEDC, what we did is we immediately began focusing on economic response measures from COVID-19 to support our businesses, our communities, and our workforce in every region of the state. The first closures of businesses here in Michigan as a result of the pandemic happened on March 16th, and it was on March 19th that we launched our first financial tool to help small businesses that were impacted. And so it was an immediate an ongoing response where we leveraged every resource available to help mitigate the negative impacts of COVID-19.
Thanks, Josh. To hear more of this interview with Josh Hunt from MEDC, go to thismorningwithgordondeal.com and click on the MEDC microphone.
Tired of trying to separate fact from fiction? Get your information from a source you can trust. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Hey, thanks for joining us and welcome into Monday, November 16. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. COVID hospitalizations are spiking, leading more states to impose restrictions like Washington State and Michigan. The Biden transition team pushes for government recognition. SpaceX launches 4 astronauts toward the space station. A ruling by a federal judge has restored the DACA program to near full operation. Dustin Johnson won the Masters, his second major. Patriots over the Ravens in Sunday Night Football. And the Pennsylvania baking competition that turned into charity work. That story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Omaha Steaks. This holiday, stay home, stay safe, and send the greatest gift of all, Omaha Steaks. Go to omahasteaks.com and type Gordon in the search bar and take advantage of an exclusive offer only available to our listeners. For millions of Americans, getting a 4-year degree no longer makes sense. Here's what could replace it and how colleges might react from Doug Belkin, higher education reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Doug, what have you found?
So let me start from a little history, which I think is just fascinating, and it helps to explain a little bit of the stress that college is under now. So in the 60s, what happened was the country opted for a college for all program. And this is the idea: get everybody in high school into college prep classes and get them into college. And this will give everybody a chance to become a professional and have a white-collar job, and that's the kind of educated American workforce that we want that will make us competitive. So it was a very aspirational idea. And what we've learned over the past 50, 60 years is that it works for about 20% of the country. So you take a cohort of ninth graders, and you look at how many of them graduate from high school, enroll in college, graduate from college, get a job that uses their college degree, and you're looking at about 1 in 5 kids.
Jeez.
Right. So this system that we have is terrific for 20% of the country, and everybody aspires to that. That's become the American dream. But even for some of these kids who get the degree, it's stalled out because the millennials will tell you their debt is so significant that even if they have a good job with their degree, you know, utilizing the credential that they worked hard to get, they may still be underwater for, you know, 3 or 4 years because debt has become such an issue.
So now you're down below that 20% number that you cited before, probably, if you calculate the debt.
Right, right. So you look at surveys of millennials who have regrets about going to college, even those who finish, and it's around half. They're pissed off.
Wow.
And So the question is, how long can this system, is it sustainable? And the answer is, there's been pressure on it for a long time, and it's been growing, and then COVID just sort of accelerated everything. And what we're seeing now is the beginning of people opting for shorter, faster credentials, which will get them a good job in the labor market, and then they can go back to school later. So this idea of going for 4 years right after high school, or 5 years or 6 years, and going into debt and front-loading your education, it's just not working out for so many folks that they're opting for these different pathways. And part of the issue here is that the country has bought this idea that you are a loser if you don't go to college. That's what smart people do. That's the way to go.
Yeah.
And we've been sold this for a long time, and this is beginning to crumble because smart people are not making it in this system. And that's, I think, the sea change that we're beginning to see now.
Name one of those different pathway examples.
So there's a lot of them, and a lot of them are sort of nascent and small, but you see them all over the place. So the most interesting one to me is these tech companies like Google and Microsoft. They're launching these programs that are online, and you can study for 6 months, learn data science or some really in high demand skill for next to nothing. And then they will consider that the equivalent of a 4-year degree if you apply for a job in that skill set.
Wow.
So that's a whole, you know, I mean, imagine you're now competing against a kid who just got a 4-year degree from a decent state college or whatever, and you've got this credential that's specific to that job. Google's going to say, well, this is just as good. So, you know, you leave a lot of things on the table. You leave the coming of age period. You leave the kind of general education that has really been an important part of the American educational system. So it's not like this stuff is just going to go away, and that college offers a tremendous amount of value for people who take advantage of it. But it's also just become so risky for so many people, and the risk isn't paying off. So you see these short-term technical credentials, which are really rising very quickly. You're seeing, you know, apprenticeships used to be something that you did if you wanted to be an electrician. Well, that's begun to spread, and this has been going on for a while now, into the white-collar world of insurance and banking and real estate and all these different sorts of things that you don't necessarily need a four-year degree to enter these fields. And these apprenticeship programs, you get paid while you study, you know, for a year or two, and you get job experience so that you come out when you're 20 years old and you're earning a good salary. You don't have debt from school. And then the other sort of prediction that I came across reporting the story is that people will not stop their education when they're 23, 24, even when they're 28, you know, if they get a professional degree, but they'll continue it.
Thanks, Doug. Doug Belkin, higher education reporter at The Wall Street Journal. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Black Friday's on the way, as you know, and let's be honest, things have gotten a little crazy. If you're looking for great clothes as gifts or for yourself, you can't beat cutsclothing.com. Cuts makes the best t-shirts, polos, and hoodies you can find, combining classic looks with modern fabrics. And when they say modern, we're talking up-to-the-minute technology. The new Pika Pro fabric is downright buttery soft. You got to wear it to believe it. It's an amazing combination of fit, fabric, and function. Perfect for work, a night out, or anything in between. Skip the gimmicks. Pick up the quality, minimalist clothes that your favorite athletes, entrepreneurs, and even podcast hosts are upgrading to. For example, I wear a Cuts t-shirt under an open flannel shirt with a sports jacket and just as a t-shirt. Shop cutsclothing.com between November 11 and December 1st to save 30% site-wide. That's 30% off everything with no code required. Cutsclothing.com between November 11 and December 1. Cuts Clothing, the only t-shirt worth wearing. Cutsclothing.com. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday. It's time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we're not sure what's causing this to happen. Maybe we can just blame 2020 like everything else. But it seems that burglars who break into restaurants have become more brazen recently, with more than a few even testing out their culinary skills before making off with some cash. The latest comes from California, where authorities said a man broke into a Fullerton pizza place a week ago, stealing money and other items. He also must have been hungry, as security cameras caught him also taking the time to make himself a pizza, spending about 2 hours inside before finally leaving. After filling his belly, the man made off with $500 in cash, several electronic items, multiple six-packs of beer, and even boosted the restaurant's delivery car for his getaway. Trying to flee from cops in a car that says Big Slice Pizza on it could have been his undoing, however, as police said he was quickly located and arrested.
Man.
See, I feel like maybe that was the tipping point. Not the spending the 2 hours in the restaurant, jeez, but, you know, taking the delivery car, which, yeah, again, I assume is marked, yeah, in some way, shape, or form. You know, that can make you pretty easy to spot.
Yeah, and like Grand Theft Auto?
Yeah. Right? Well, that too, sure.
A vehicle or that?
I mean, sure, you're just, you know, adding charges on top of charges there.
Oh, my goodness. But that's a guy with a plan?
Yeah.
Really? I mean, he made the pizza, took the beer. That took time to eat.
We've heard a lot of these lately, though, and it amazes me how cool, calm, and collected everybody is. Like, they get inside,
yeah,
they know, okay, here's the cash, here's the stuff I'm going to steal, but, you know, my belly is rumbling. Now, I could take the cash and go to the convenience store and, you know, fill my belly that way, but no, I'm going to make a pizza while I'm here.
And, I mean, you can probably just look up and see security cameras.
Well, again,
right? This is not a deterrent for some folks.
These are things all of us, especially burglars, should know in 2020.
Do we know what time of day this happened, roughly? This was an overnight thing.
I mean, it was after the place was closed.
Right.
You have to assume, yes.
Yes.
Well after midnight, mm-hmm, I would think. And this should go without saying, but an elementary school in France has been forced to get creative in order to get a message across to parents. Don't throw your kids over the closed school gate. The school even drew a cartoon showing a stick figure, adult tossing their stick figure child over the closed gate for parents who process things more visually. the text on the sign asks parents to wait instead for the gates to be opened at 10 a.m. The school's principal said there were only a few scattered incidents of this type of child throwing, and thankfully there were no injuries, but it was prevalent enough and dangerous enough to inspire school officials to take action.
A few. There were a few.
There were a few incidents.
Scattered incidents.
Yes, yes. Not. Wow. Apparently, this is not something that's a one-off kind of deal.
This is not like wife-carrying competitions like they do in Scandinavia, right?
Right.
This is like child-throwing over the fence.
Well, obviously, the kids are lighter. They're easier to pick up. We understand this.
Right. First your backpack goes, then the kid goes. Is that the order of importance? So maybe you can be cushioned by your backpack if you fall on it?
Sure. Or maybe you get some of his friends to kind of like get underneath and, you know, wait for him, maybe kind of break his fall out. You know, catch, here, look, here he comes. Catch him, you know.
Those are the kids who were not injured and had already been thrown over the gate.
Right. They successfully made it over. Their parents were good tossers.
That's unbelievable. They didn't want to wait in line, I guess? Or
just didn't, you know, maybe they had to go to work, didn't want to wait for the school to open, that kind of thing. That's what I'm guessing. I'm guessing they were on their way someplace in a hurry and couldn't wait for the gate to open.
Right. 3, 2, 1, prepare to launch.
Yeah, yeah.
Here comes my child.
Wow.
Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News.
For the one standing guard. For the eagle-eyed. For the knights in shining armor, and for all those who support them, we are Grainger, your experienced safety partner, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, committed to helping keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Dell Technologies just announced their Black Friday sale, releasing new doorbusters every weekday, plus up to 50% off cutting-edge tech for your business. There's no better time to upgrade your small business with the latest laptops and desktops with Intel Core processors. Plus, there's free shipping on everything. Give Dell Technologies advisors a call. They'll identify the right tech solution for your business. Call 877-ASK-DELL or go to dell.com/sbblackfriday.
Cutting through the clutter to bring you the people and stories that matter to you. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning, with Gordon Deal.
Hey, glad you're with us. The initial stage of the COVID-19 pandemic coincided with what's being described as a dramatic decline in preventive and elective healthcare use. The resulting rise in telemedicine use, meanwhile, did not totally make up for the reduced in-person visits and saw disparities along income, racial, and ethnic lines. For example, use of colonoscopy, a procedure often used to screen for colon cancer, decreased by about 70% for March and April relative to rates seen in March and April of last year. The new study from JAMA Network Open also found that women aged 46 to 64 had a 67% relative reduction in mammograms used to screen for early signs of breast cancer. Hemoglobin A1C tests, which measure blood sugar levels, down nearly 51%. And kids aged 0 to 2 saw a 22% relative reduction in vaccines. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Many public health authorities are warning the coronavirus is now so widespread it will take pervasive new measures to contain it. New infections surpassed 177,224 on Friday, setting a daily record that eclipsed the highest daily case counts of previous peaks in the spring and summer. Harvard professor Atul Gawande, named to President-elect Biden's COVID-19 advisory board, told ABC the Biden team needs information from the Trump administration.
It is in the nation's interest that the transition team get the threat assessments that the team knows about, understand the vaccine distribution plans. We need to know where the stockpiles are, what the status is of masks and gloves.
In earlier surges, infections were concentrated in cities such as New York and Chicago or populous states like Florida and Texas. Now, it's everywhere.
Number two.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer is calling on Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to work with Democrats on a COVID-19 relief package.
We are urging McConnell to re-examine his position and support the kind of COVID bill that meets the needs of New York and the needs of the American people.
Schumer called McConnell the Dr. No of stimulus negotiations.
Number three.
SpaceX launched 4 astronauts to the International Space Station on Sunday. on the first full-fledged taxi flight for NASA by a private company. The Falcon rocket thundered into the night from Kennedy Space Center with three Americans and one Japanese, the second crew to be launched by SpaceX, NASA Administrator Jim Bridenstine.
It's the first time we go as a commercial vehicle licensed with humans into orbit, licensed by the FAA.
The Dragon capsule on top is due to reach the space station late today and remain there until spring. A bust of the ancient god Hermes in good condition was discovered in central Athens during sewage work. And the Greek Culture Ministry says the head, one of many that served as street markers in ancient Athens, was found Friday, and it appears to be from around 300 BC. After serving as a street marker, the head at some point had been built into the wall of a drainage duct.
Wow. Marked a street? Turn right at the head? Is that kind of what? Wow.
That's what they did then.
The son of Zeus deserves better than this treatment, I think, in my opinion. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us. A competition became a charity. Scott McKenzie and Jeremy Urich, both from Huntington, Pennsylvania, held a bake-off back in April at the height of the pandemic. Mr. McKenzie told People he was just furloughed and decided he wanted to teach himself something new every week. He started with learning to bake cookies from scratch. The same day, Mr. Urich also made cookies. When he saw Mr. McKenzie's Facebook post, he bet his own cookies were better. So they held a bake-off, inviting local frontline workers to be the judges. After that, the two men created a Facebook group called Cookies for Caregivers, where people could sign up to make sweets for frontline workers. Currently, the group has nearly 300 members, and according to People, the group has delivered more than 15,000 cookies and cakes to workers at hospitals, grocery stores, and fire departments. They make a new list of recipients every week. Delivery arrangements are made at the McKenzie House, where bakers bring their goods. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.